Recording in progress. people. Sorry, Chris. Are we in the mood to celebrate today?
Yes.
Sounds like it. Double celebration. Can barely contain myself this morning. That's what happens when I get 3 days off. So we're going to come together later and celebrate and give thanks for the 70-year reign of Her Majesty the Queen. But now, in our worship, it's happy birthday to God's church. Hurrah! Wish each other a happy birthday. You are God's church. And if it's your birthday today, that's what a coincidence. Go on then. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. And we're going to party. Like it's 2022. Doesn't have quite the same ring, does it? But this morning we are celebrating Pentecost, and as we're thinking about, has God promised to pour out, he says, my spirit. I will pour out my spirit. And as the Holy Spirit takes up permanent residence in the hearts of believers, when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, today we remember the first Pentecost after Jesus had ascended to heaven, and we think about the disciples who were waiting. We know there's a church, we're not great at waiting. We've agreed that long time ago. But today we remember how God poured out his spirit on his people. Not just the Jews, but people from all nations, men and women, young and old, slaves and free, all people who come to our Lord in repentance. And we're going to think about the passage from Joel that reminds us of the huge significance of that moment in history and the impact that the Holy Spirit dwelling, residing within a person has, that new power which enables us to live transformed lives. As the Holy Spirit pours in, we are so filled by him that we can't help but pour out the good news and blessings that are promises from our God. So as we come to worship, come Holy Spirit, the wind of God, the breath of life. Come Holy Spirit, our advocate, our counselor. Come Holy Spirit, teacher of wisdom, reminder of Christ. Come, Holy Spirit, granter of forgiveness, giver of peace. Come, Holy Spirit, may we feel God breathing through our worship. May we receive his Holy Spirit in this place. Amen. Let's join together and sing number 18. All over the world, the Spirit is moving.
Prophets say it would be.
come to our Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come this morning to sing your praises. We come to thank you that in your grace and mercy you gave your Spirit at Pentecost to dwell in the heart of all who trust Christ as their Saviour and Lord. Come to praise and thank you that this wonderful prophecy that you will pour out your Spirit upon all is finally and fully fulfilled. Lord, we thank you that at this time that you use each one of us who are filled by your Holy Spirit to tell the good news of Jesus Christ. We thank you for him. We thank you for his once and for all sacrifice. We thank you, Lord, that he is now with you at your right hand. We thank you, Lord, that when we find it difficult to pray, when we're struggling, when we're upset, when we're worried and concerned, that your Spirit intercedes for us and that Christ prays on our behalf. Lord, we thank you that you show us how to live in unity and community as you do as the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord, may we never forget each one. May we understand even more fully what it means to be part of your family, your children, and through Jesus that we can call you Father. As we read your holy word, we thank you for the many precious promises revealed, Lord, to your people at the time, revealed, Lord, through this coming age, and yet to be fulfilled at the end times. Lord, we thank you for your precious promises to your people, Israel, that despite their rejection of Christ as Messiah, you have not rejected them. Lord, we pray for our people. We pray for our community, our town, our country, our world that is so in need of a Saviour. Lord, all the things that we see going on fill our hearts with sadness. And yet, Lord, we know that your heart weeps too. Lord, fill us anew, fill us afresh, that we would share the good news, that we would be peacemakers, that we would seek your way and your will for ourselves individually, but also for your church here in Hazelmere. We pray for next week's service, Lord. We thank you that you've been in the preparations. We pray that Love Wickham will have a lasting effect on the community in this town and surrounding areas. We pray for the speaker, Lord, as he prepares to come, for all those involved in the worship. Lord, we thank you that you empower us to witness for you in our everyday lives. But there's nothing more powerful than when your church comes together in your name. Lord, we come this morning to celebrate the 70-year reign of Her Majesty the Queen. Lord, we give thanks for her devotion, her commitment. We give thanks, Lord, for her faithfulness to not only her country, but the Commonwealth. But Lord, that she has been a humble servant of you. We thank you, Lord, that as her reign has got longer and longer, we see how her faith has got deeper and stronger. And Lord, she speaks out when she can. Lord, bless her. Bless these celebrations, Lord, and may the good feel that people have coming together, Lord, continue in this land. Lord, we know through your word that we can do nothing in our own strength, that everything comes from you. That's why we come together today, Lord, to celebrate your glorious Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to remember who he is. Help us to call on him, the breath of life, the power that each one of us needs. Lord, may we say, come, Holy Spirit, and believe that he will come. Lord, bless this worship, bless this time together. Bless each one of us as we come and say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Young people, there's some activities at the back if you'd like to do some. So as we've been thinking about the events since Easter, seems even longer ago, doesn't it, since I last said to you, does it seem ages since Easter? 50 days, because it's Pentecost. But we see the disciples have been commissioned, they've waited, and then as I wrote down on my paper the other day, boom, the Holy Spirit is here. And if we go to Acts chapter 2 on page 1093, that's my first hint. We can see, it says the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. And as we go through Acts chapter 2, I want you to keep your little finger in Acts chapter 2, we see the disciples empowered by the Holy Spirit. Peter literally preaches his socks off. He started the socks and the sandals. But among his preach, he referred to the prophecy from Joel. And so I need you also to turn to page 914, which is Joel chapter 2, one of the minor prophets with a major word. And we really get to see, and it kind of speaks to us about the world that we live in today, a world that is in great need. You may not have read through Joel's prophecy or understood some of it because it's relevant to the people at that time, but the problem was still the same. They were in huge need. If we go back to the start, Joel chapter 1, or if we look at the first and second chapters, we read that the people of Israel were suffering from a nationwide invasion of locusts. Except for the animal people, who will love that. But we know from seeing locusts invade other countries in our world today, the devastation that they cause. They literally eat everything in their way. Are you all feeling a bit creepy crawly now? There's no locusts in church. Well, as far as I'm aware. But this was a period of history where God's people had returned from exile, we think, back to Jerusalem. The previous generations had died out, but some had returned and were trying to rebuild their lives. But for a people who depended on the land for everything, not just for food, but for their whole livelihood, even at that time for their sacrifices to God, being invaded by locusts was a huge deal. Because the locusts, we read in chapter 1, had literally eaten everything. It had stripped the trees and laid waste to the wine and everything else. So we would kind of say when we were reading Joel that the people's greatest need was actually just to stay alive because they've got nothing to eat. And we see that, don't we, when we look around the world now, when crops are destroyed by locusts, by natural disasters. But Joel is prophesying at a time, he says the people have an even bigger need than a national disaster. Their problem was that they had become complacent towards God, and that complacency had turned into disobedience. And so as we start to read through chapter 1, and we won't do that today, please read it when you get home, Joel is basically telling them to wake up. The people had given up on God who had brought them back to their land, and they were to be ashamed at the way they were treating God and to cry out to God. And as we get into chapter 2, we can see that Joel tells them that because of their complacency, their locusts have come not by coincidence, but because God sent them. It was God who was leading the army of locusts to devour the crops and punish his people. And then we come to the verses for this morning, the verses that Peter used in Acts chapter 2. It's Joel chapter 2, verses 28 to 32. The Lord will pour out his spirit. You see it in here as the day of the Lord on page 914. And afterwards I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance. As the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls. So we see part of the prophecy fulfilled, part yet to come on the day of the Lord. And we learn of the awesome and wondrous promises, a God who promises to pour out his spirit on his people, even in the midst of chaos and disaster. How do we understand those wondrous promises? What do they mean to us today? Their greatest need, as is the greatest need of many today, is to be back in relationship with God. Throughout the Bible, we see that God tells his people that he will be their God and they will be his people. God promises to his people that they will be brought back into relationship with him when they repent. God restores everything that was taken away, but even more so, there will be plenty and they will be satisfied. God promises his very self in the midst of his people. It says in verse 27, there is none else. And so as we think about those words, we'll sing number 89, Come down, O love divine.
Come down, O love divine.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we read those words, as we sing those words, may they be true to us. We have that strong desire to know you more through the power of your Holy Spirit. May your Holy Spirit now open our hearts to receive your word to us. May we pour ourselves out for you as you pour yourself into us. Amen. Seems rather ironic for me to say, turn on or turn up the power or pour out the power when we look at the energy prices that we're having to pay at the moment. We're bombarded, aren't we, in our news with the cost of gas, the cost of oil, the shortage of fuel. And we know it's all a case of supply and demand. We need it, and so they can charge what they like. Some blame the war in Ukraine. But we know if we follow what we're told that there was an increase in demand for oil and gas long before the war in Ukraine as we all started to come out of lockdown. We now know there's a disruption to the supply because of the war not only in Ukraine but the effects that that has on people. So that's depressing, isn't it? You're looking at me going, oh. But I am going to tell you to turn on the power, to turn up the power, to pour out the power. Because there was disruption and crisis, as we've just read, during the prophet Joel's time too. Yet God continues to promise his people abundance and protection. And the evidence of which is him living in the midst of his people. It's an amazing thought, isn't it? God living inside of us. God wanting to live inside of us. But we have to make room for all the, move out all the clutter and the rubbish. That prophecy was spoken hundreds of years before Peter used it on the day of Pentecost. What Peter wanted to tell his listeners were that that part had been fulfilled. On that day, God poured out his Holy Spirit on the people. We see, don't we, had we have used the usual text, Acts chapter 2, Peter says, no, these are not my words. These were prophesied way, way back. The people would have known that. They would have known how long ago they'd been waiting. Peter was revealing to the people on that day that he preached the first sermon in the church. Can you imagine being there on that day to hear that first sermon? All the prophecies relating to the Holy Spirit, to God's provision in Peter's mega preach. That's why we come today and say happy birthday, church. Because we're here not only as resurrection people, but as party people, as Pentecost people. The Lord has fulfilled his promise. The promise from Joel chapter 2 is ours. God has given his word to those who are saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. We do live in deeply troubling times. Each of us are affected differently depending on our own circumstances and passions. Wars and terrorism are frightening. We feel saddened and helpless. Culture, social media, the look at me society, reality, celebrity are troubling. There's a decline in attendance and standards within the church nationally. But when we bring our concerns to the Lord in prayer, they pale into insignificance against his awesome power. And we find that God's heart is moved too. He can and will act through his people in means and ways that we cannot even imagine. So perhaps we need to look at ourselves and be daring and ask if perhaps the problem lies with us. That we are not filled with his power, with his Holy Spirit. We see in God's holy word that he can and will work in any age, any generation, when he has a surrendered people through whom will do his work. Nothing that we are seeing or hearing is any worse than what was going on in Jesus' time. You only have to look at the horrors that were going on in and around and what happened to Jesus himself. Nothing is any worse for when Peter and Paul were preaching. Do you believe that? Do you understand that? Because we always live in our age, don't we, thinking it's so much worse for us. But when you start to look back at what's happened over the years, we realise that it was as bad. But God moved in those days, and the believers who lived then were used by God to turn the world upside down. We read that in Scripture. I would say, actually, he turned it the right way up, because he turned it God's way. The same power is available for us today, because the same Holy Spirit dwells in each one of us as believers. We can't take for granted what we've been given, and neither should we neglect the power available for us to carry out God's will in our time. Be blessed to be a blessing in a time that desperately needs Jesus. When we go back to the time of Joel when he prophesied, the words that we find in our verses today, the people were powerless to withstand their enemies, powerless to withstand temptation, and powerless in the face of the devil's attack. God promised unique power in the face of all earthly troubles, trials, and temptations. That power has been given to every child of God, every person who has been born again in Christ. It's essential that we allow him to access all areas of our lives, so that he can do his work in and through us. The Apostle Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, "And be not drunk with wine, in which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." If you remember on the day of Pentecost, the people around mistook the people filled with the Holy Spirit as being drunk. Only by yielding, by surrendering ourselves to his control, will we be able to walk in close fellowship with our Saviour and be empowered to live the holy life that we have in him. Somebody once said that we need to realise the Holy Spirit resides in us, but he may not necessarily reign in us. In order for the promised power of Joel 2 to be effective, we must yield ourselves to his indwelling presence. We don't let our mobiles run out of power, do we? Well, some of you might, but but most of the time we don't, do we? So why do we allow ourselves to run out of the Holy Spirit power? What is more important? Who is more important? We must be bold and turn the power up. Be bold and turn the power on, even, that it's provided and ready to surge through every part of our being. Then and only then will our lovely church be equipped to serve. Are we willing? Do we have that power at work in us in all its fullness? If we experience him fully, we can, as Paul writes, accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. And it is we, because no individual can do all what is needed. Only God can do that in the lives of us as we come together in unity as his church. We must pray for God to fill us and empower us with Pentecost power to be Spirit-filled church, doing more and being more than we can ever imagine. Because if we don't recognize the awesome presence of God in our worship and in our lives, our good time is just another social event. God's people need more than just a good feeling. We need to be infilled of his Spirit. And we need that so much more than in any time in Christian history. Back then is very different to the days that we live in now. The Holy Spirit back in Joel's time only visited with the prophets and leaders. They were not the fountain of divine presence, because the Holy Spirit didn't live inside each believer at that time. It came upon those leaders. Yet in our day, we have the promise of the outpouring of God's presence. Jesus promised his disciples, we can look back at John 14 and 16, the comforter that is ours through his indwelling presence. The Bible tells us that without a vision, that the people perish. God has given us his Spirit that we may understand his word and his will. God doesn't want us to struggle around in the valley of ignorance, but to stride forward in the wisdom of the Spirit's guidance. For it is the Holy Spirit that reveals to us all the truth that we need. God wants us to be able to perceive his will and have the power to carry it out. What we really need is to ask God what he wants in our church and what he wants in our lives. What we do then, we will discover that amazing truth that the day in which we live is indeed a wonderful time to be alive. What a provision that God has made through the presence of his Holy Spirit. Everyone who calls on the Lord will be saved. It's the Spirit that prompts the person to trust Christ. That person has the moving of the Holy Spirit, revealing sin, lifting Jesus up as the risen Lord, calling that person to faith and salvation. Joel said that everyone or anyone will have the chance to call upon the Lord and be saved. Let that be our prayer for those who are yet to know our Lord. And be excited. You don't look excited. It's exciting. God didn't promise a trickle of the Spirit. It's like some of the downpours that we've had over the last few days. I was thinking as I was writing, okay, God, you've made your point. It is a heavenly outpouring of his presence in us in the measure that each of us needs in the situation that we find ourselves in. If we think we can do everything we need to in our own strength, how can God fill us? Is that why our Western church in this age is struggling? Are we carrying on in our own strength rather than being carried forward in a deluge of his Spirit? When it pours down later, just pause and think about that, both the rain and the Holy Spirit. It's time that we plugged into God's Spirit. We can't do what God needs in this community or in our town or wherever God places us to meet what he requires of us. We can't just try and do better. We have to do it with his power. It's so obvious that many of us are living in our own strength. Yet God promises us so much more. We see throughout the history of the church the outpouring of his Holy Spirit, which was begun at Pentecost. So we know there is so much more to see. The Holy Spirit lives in us, but we must desire him to fill us. Without him, we can do nothing. We read in Galatians that we must be filled if we are to be fruitful. God is speaking to each one of us, both individually and corporately, as his church. Let us really pray, come, Holy Spirit. We can't do what God desires of us unless the Holy Spirit works in us and through us. Think of a time when you were waiting for something to come. Something exciting, like your birthday. Well, it depends on how old you are now, I guess. Or your holiday. How excited do you get in that anticipation of something? Something good, something that you're excited about. You're not still not looking very excited. You must live really boring lives. Okay, we won't do the age one. Holiday. Today we're celebrating Pentecost. And I don't know how long each one of you have been waiting for something exciting to come. But we know from the Bible that the people of Israel had been waiting hundreds of years for God's Spirit to be poured out from God. Ever since that prophecy, hundreds of years. We can't wait 5 minutes. They would have passed the news on down to each generation, and they would have expected it to come at any moment. We know for the Jews it was a big thing. Only a few people in the Old Testament were blessed with having God's Spirit in them. People like Moses, Samson, and David. But though they were leaders of the community, and so the expectation in Joel's time was that those who were going to be empowered by the Spirit would also become leaders of God's people, because that's how it worked in the Old Testament. The expectation was great. And when the event happened, Joel says that God will lavishly pour out his Spirit to all his people. His people would then become leaders and direct others to God. I don't know how you feel about that. Whenever you use the word leader, that means responsibility and commitment. But then we think about Her Majesty, as I prayed earlier, who shows how to have a humble faith, quietly but effectively living and reigning with her faith in God. It does feel like a lot of responsibility, because we think that only the people with the right capabilities can do the job. Only those who've got the right skill set. But as we read those verses, God sent his Spirit, young and old, sons and daughters, men and women, servants and free people. It was something about to happen that was going to be completely countercultural. No longer was God going to empower a few key individuals. He was going to empower everyone who belongs to him. So we must be bold. Be bold, come on. We need to turn up the power. There's no cost. It's a free gift. So we've got to use it. Are you willing to unleash the full potential of the power that each one of us is promised through God, through Jesus, his Son? I was thinking about that this morning as I poured the water from the kettle into my mug and watched the water pour. As I poured the milk from the bottle, yes, I didn't have it in a jug, not that couth, into my cereal. As I poured the juice from the carton, just stopping it from spilling out over the top of my mug, of my bowl, of my glass. Let's not stop pouring. Let's ask God to pour in so that we can pour out for him the good news that he has entrusted to us. Amen. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord God, for sending your Holy Spirit. We thank you for breathing life into the church. And we thank you for giving your Spirit to all who believe. May the Spirit who set the church on fire upon the day of Pentecost bring the world alive with the love of the risen Christ. Lord, give us eyes to see those around us as you see them. Give us ears to hear their stories. Give us hearts to share your love. Father, help us to experience the presence and leading of your Holy Spirit today, so that we might walk with you and live in a way that pleases you. Amen. So as we sing our next hymn, preparing our hearts to gather around our Lord's table, may our prayer be, as we sing those words, "Breathe on me, breath of God," number 67. Poured in and poured out, the Spirit descends like a dove, bringing peace to unite the world in a just and caring community. The Spirit comes like a breath, bringing life to renew the people of God. The Spirit spreads like fire, bringing energy for witnessing to the love of God. Spirit of the living God, come to us and transform our lives by your power. Whether we have a howling wind or tongues of fire, the Spirit Jesus promised is here with us. It brings us to this place and it brings us to his table. Even for those on Zoom, we are not separated by distance. We are joined together by his Spirit. Before we take the next step, We must admit how we've not always been faithful to God, how we grieve his spirit, going our way, not his. Let's pray. Almighty God, who led Israel with a pillar of cloud by day and a fire by night, you lead us in ways of righteousness. You have taught us that wandering does not mean that we are lost. You have taught us that the journey is just as important as the destination. We give thanks that you call us your people. Jesus, giver of the peace that surpasses all understanding, your peace has settled on us today. We have come because you first came to us. We gather to hear your word just as the disciples gathered in Jerusalem. We have heard both your word of eternal life and your word that sends us out. We give thanks that you trust us with your name. Holy Spirit, who prays on our behalf when we have no words, you are both our counsel and might. You convict us with truth when we forget your word. You lead us with wisdom when we don't know where to go. You comfort us when we feel we're without hope. We give thanks that you are in us and around us and ever present with us. Now, as people gathered in your name, we pray that you would make your presence known to us. Holy Spirit, as you have done before, breathe your breath of life over us, making our gifts of bread and cup communion with you. May God, the Father, Jesus, and Holy Spirit abide with us as we share together. May this bind us to you and to one another as your church. Renew us again. Nourish our souls by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. We read Paul's familiar words in 1 Corinthians 11. For I pass on to you what I receive from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread, and he gave thanks to God for it, and then he broke it. And he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup of wine after the supper, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed by my blood. Do these to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again." And then he goes on to say, and with the power of the Holy Spirit, we take these words. "So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup." We do that with the help of God's Spirit, and then we come and we eat. The thing about wind is that when it comes, is before us, we feel like we're pushing against it. When it's behind us, everything is possible. Both are true. The Holy Spirit pushes and pulls us faithfully in our world. And in the same way, as we gather around our Lord's table, this remembrance is the same. It's a reminder of the death of Jesus, breaking of his body in the bread and the shedding of his blood in the cup. but it's also a promise because of his glorious resurrection of the great feast yet to come that we are invited to as followers. So we come and take and eat and drink, both remembering and looking forward with hope, being challenged by and accepting of God's grace. So as you receive the bread, take and eat as a personal, individual response between you and God, the body of Christ given for you. As God's church and Christ's family. the blood of Christ given for you. Let's pray. Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, may we overflow with thanksgiving for who you are, all you have done, and all you have yet to do. May we remember the taste of this communion in our mouths in both good and difficult times. With your breath in us, you have prepared us to be your witnesses in this world. To you be all the honour and glory. Amen. Joe's excited. Are you excited? Number 664, the Spirit lives to set us free. Amen. Let's sing. Lights are on. Fantastic. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord God, for sending your Holy Spirit. We thank you for breathing life into the church and for giving your Spirit to all who believe. May the Spirit who set the church on fire on that day of Pentecost bring the world alive with the love of the risen Christ. Lord, give us eyes to see those around us as you see them. Give us ears to hear their stories, hearts to share your love. Amen. Amen. Just a few brief notices, because you know I can't help myself. So I know that you're all good and that you've all read your diary, haven't you? Yes, Sharon, is the response. Because if you haven't, you will not know that there is no service here next week. We are encouraged to go and join with Love Wickham by the Guildhall. If you need a lift, please speak to Joe or myself. The speaker is a guy called Greg Downs, who some of you may remember from Hazelmere decades ago. But if you don't know who he is, I've been told that he did a video on YouTube with Jay John called Facing the Canon. So his name is Greg Downs. So if you want to do some homework before next week, look for that on YouTube and listen to half an hour of him before you come to Love Wickham. And our Big Church Read launches this week. Finally, the videos have arrived. So we'll meet on Thursday night and Friday afternoon for session one. So you'll need to have read chapters 1 and 2 to be prepared. There's no tea and cake. There's no tea and coffee. There is cake. Oh, yeah. After the service, as we're going straight into our celebration for Her Majesty. Bless you all. Have a great week.